This is a Day One podcast extra, bringing you a conversation between our host, Peter Wallace, and a special guest. For more information about Day One, which brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and with me today is the Reverend Dr. Rob Nash, Global Missions Coordinator for the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which is headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. Rob is the son of Baptist missionaries, grew up on the mission field in the Philippines. He served as a pastor and educator before taking on his current challenges with the fellowship beginning in 2006. Rob, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
You're in a very important missions role at the fellowship after a ministry career in the local congregation and at two Christian colleges, and you were raised in a missionary household. I want to talk to you a little bit about that first, where your parents served and what kind of activities were they involved in, and what was your life like in that setting?
I spent the first 5 or 6 years of my childhood on the island of Mindanao in the Philippines, where my father was serving as a church planter and my mother was serving primarily as my teacher every day in the first, second, third, and fifth grades. I found it to be just an exciting kind of environment. I grew up in a context in which the Muslim call to prayer was much more familiar to me than the pealing of church bells or anything that might remind me of a Christian heritage. My experience growing up in a homeschooled kind of environment was a good one. We would go out to the Water Tank Elementary School under the water tank behind our house, and every morning we would read a psalm and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America in the Philippine context. So it was a rather diverse experience.
Did you have a calling into the ministry, or was it kind of a natural path for you after this upbringing?
I did experience a calling to ministry as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the course of my college experience, began to think about teaching as a ministry and a profession. For many years, I thought that would take me in the direction of teaching in a seminary in some international context. But gradually, that calling was clarified, and I wound up just having a wonderful experience in teaching 18 to 22-year-olds in a traditional college context in the American South.
And you pastored two churches in Kentucky. I would imagine missions work was a priority for you in that context as well. Did you focus on missions activities in those churches?
We did. In both contexts, one was very rural and one was urban in Louisville. Mm-hmm. In both of those contexts, of course, the focus was on community ministry and community mission engagement. That was back in the late 80s. At a point at which all of these short-term mission trips that churches take was just starting to take off. And so much of our focus was on community ministry, working in soup kitchens, meeting the needs of people who lived around the church, and that kind of ministry.
Did you find it difficult to balance the local ministry and the missions work, or what would you suggest pastors do to ensure that balance?
It's always a challenge. I think as pastors, we get caught up in the tension between engaging the community with the love and grace of Jesus Christ and having to nurture and protect the institution with which we've been charged. I think sometimes we err too much on the side of the institution, and it takes courage to move folks beyond that perception and to become externally focused as they help the church to look around in its community. But I'm the first to admit that it's not an easy tension to overcome.
You described the major eras, really the centuries, in your first sermon for the Day One program of missions work. Would you recap those for us, where you see missions work heading in the 21st century?
Yes, I think I said that the 18th century was the century of the individual missionary like William mm-hmm. Carey, Ann and Adoniram Judson, and others of their ilk. And the 19th century was the era of the mission society. The 20th century was the era of the great denominations in global mission. And the 21st century is the age of the local congregation. I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I really do think it's something we've been praying for centuries. I think throughout those four centuries of time, people have begged and pleaded and cajoled congregations toward global mission. We're finally here, but again, the challenge is in equipping ourselves to do the work that God's called us to do.
So how does the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship work to do that, to fulfill those goals of local church involvement?
Well, our mission is to equip churches and individuals as they discover and fulfill their God-given mission. We have three initiative areas: congregational life, leadership development, and global missions. And all three initiative areas are directed toward the empowerment and encouragement of congregations. Within global missions, what we have done over the last year is to restructure. We now have two teams, one of which is committed to the engagement of our field personnel in the world, the other of which is committed to the engagement of congregations in the world. And it's not just that congregations work with our field personnel or missionaries. It truly is that we are looking for the places where God can connect congregations in the world, whether that has anything to do with our field personnel or not. And it's also not just something that we're doing in the U.S. We want to engage congregations around the world and partner with them as best we can as we look toward the future God has for all of us.
Where do short-term missions engagements fit into the plan? What are the benefits of those short-term visits?
I think there are significant benefits to short-term mission engagements, but I also think there are dangers. Mm. I think short-term mission engagements ought to be part of a larger, sustainable, and intentional engagement in the world on the part of a congregation. Or perhaps to be feelers as a congregation is trying to discover where God is calling it and where God wants it to invest its time and its energy. The truth of the matter is that a single mission trip to a single place for a week or 2 weeks of time is the kind of thing that does bring some benefit. But in the long term, studies have shown that benefit to be fairly short term. Mm. And so if it can be part of a long-term sustainable engagement, then I think we're really headed in the direction we ought to go.
And I've heard that you are not a fan of the concept of volunteering. Tell me about that, and what view of service would you advocate?
I just don't believe the church is a place where we volunteer. To me, the term volunteer designates someone who does something extra they don't normally do without pay. And I don't think this is who we are, according to Scripture, in terms of being followers of Jesus Christ. We aren't doing something extra in this engagement. We truly are living life under the Lordship of Christ. So in that sense, as Christian people, we engage in the world in ministry. We don't volunteer.
Hmm. I'm curious to know where your favorite place to visit in the world is and why.
I think my favorite place to visit in the whole world is actually Hong Kong.
Hmm.
There are a number of reasons for that. I just find the fascinating blend between sort of Eastern and Western culture that is Hong Kong, the British influence mm-hmm. of the past, the Chinese influence that is so pervasive, the kind of cultural crossroads that Hong Kong's become, the food, the people. entering into a kind of radically different universe. I just love to go to Hong Kong.
And where have you witnessed the most dramatic spread of Christianity in the world?
There was a period of time a number of years ago where South Korea was looked at as the most responsive part of the world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To me, one of the greatest examples of missional engagement in the world can be found among what Koreans are doing in the world right now. I find Koreans engaged in ministry and mission just about everywhere that I go, and I find their passion, their excitement and enthusiasm about the gospel to be catching. And so if I had to point at a particular place or people that I think are a real center of missions, it would be the Korean people.
How do you respond to those who say that we as Christians should not impose our beliefs on other cultures, other religions, that there are many paths to God?
I would say that the reality is, if there is some influence in my life that makes me the kind of person that I think God would have me to be, then I ought to have the can't help it's when it comes to sharing that joy and that love and that passion. What I think we ought to be excited about is what drives us and motivates us and enables us as people to make sense of the world in which we live. I think we all organize our lives around a number of questions. Why am I here? Why do I suffer? What happens to me when I die? Why should I behave? And the system that enables us to make sense of those questions is the system that gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And it seems a natural thing for me to want to share that meaning and purpose with others.
And let's look at the flip side of that coin. Those who would say that perhaps especially mainline Christians are not doing enough evangelism, that we're focused too much on just serving and doing and not enough on preaching and sharing the word. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would say that any time we have trouble doing either one of those things, then we ought to engage in some self-examination. I really do think what we're called to offer to the world is the balance of word and deed that's represented in the life of Jesus. I don't see Jesus surrendering either one of those ways of sharing the good news with those that he came into contact with. And the joy and passion that is in my life ought to drive me both to ministry in word and in deed.
So it comes back to Jesus' commission in John 20.
It does. As the Father has sent me, so send I you.
Rob, are there some helpful resources that you might recommend, books or online resources to help listeners wrestle with these issues personally and in their churches?
I think one of the most formative books that I have read recently is a book by Samuel Escobar called The New Global Mission, The Gospel from Everywhere to Everyone. It's a book that's helped me to understand the context in which we seek to engage in mission in the world. It's a book that's helped me to understand the two-way movement of the gospel around the world. And it's one that I would recommend to folks who are seeking to understand what God is doing in the world right now.
And you've written several books, a couple on the church in our postmodern culture, and about the Bible. Are you planning to do some writing in this field of missions?
I do have plans as soon as I can find the time. I would like to wrestle with this whole idea of the local church engaged in global mission, some of the ways I see that that can be fleshed out as we move ahead to the future God has for us.
Well, for more information on the fellowship's work, listeners can check out the website at thefellowship.info.
That's correct.
Very good. Rob, thank you so much for talking with us. You've opened our hearts and our minds and our eyes to the whole field of missions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.